So what did you decide, what did you decide to?
Well, actually, we never did really come out to them. But I think also we were trying to get into a social group too. I think basically our relation had just about run its course, and I think we're actually looking for other company besides, you know, the one we're with, and that's the way it turned out. I mean, it was at that time that I think subconsciously we were looking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we did, we broke up shortly thereafter, and we stopped going, you know. Well, she stopped going, and I stopped going, and I never did, you know, had the chance to talk to the kids about it, but I guess she's open now with the kids, and mm-hmm. I guess her relationship now is much better, you know.
Mm-hmm. You didn't live with each other at the time, or did you?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of tough business.
You betcha. It's tough.
How old were the kids?
Well, when I moved in?
Yeah, when you moved in.
I think they were 8 and 11.
And you moved out?
Well, they were 6 years, so they had about 17 and 15.
They had to be deaf, dumb, and blind. Mm-hmm. Or something.
Nah, they knew, but, you know, it was never talked about. Yeah, right. Yeah, they knew.
They didn't ever come with any problems with people. Might mention what you did with your brother again. I thought that was kind of good.
Oh yeah, well, this is
not in terms of not talking.
Well, I was 23 or 24, and I used to have problems with my family saying, "Well, how come your hair is so short?" Well, you know, this is when I go home to visit them occasionally, and how come you're not married, and how come you never bring any boys home and stuff of this nature. And I said, "Hey, you know, I do what I want to do, and just leave me alone, you know." And so this one particular time, my brother mentioned something to me about it, and I said, "Listen," I says, "you know, don't tell me what to do, you know, nobody tells you what to do." I says, "First of all, you don't bother my woman, and I won't bother yours." Mm-hmm. So since then, we've had, you know, a halfway decent relationship, you know, as far as that, you know. And my father knows, and, you know, he just accepts it, you know. In fact, that's probably basically why I am gay, is because of my father. For some reason, I can remember when I was really young, you know, he kept saying, "Nah, you don't have to get married, you don't have to, you know, get married," and he says, you know, things of this nature. And I don't know why he said that. I don't know what kind of impression he was trying to make on me, but evidently...
Were you the oldest?
No, I was the second, but I was my father's favorite, you know, and I don't know what... But his philosophy was behind, you know, saying, "Well, you don't have to get married, you know, don't worry about your good job and take care of yourself and go to school and, you know, stuff of this thing." And I couldn't really basically understand what he was trying to say, you know.
Be free.
Yeah, I think, you know, basically that's the thing. And he never once ever criticized or, you know, I'm still his favorite, and, you know, I could expect anything from him, and, you know,
I could do anything he'd never criticize me for.
He didn't mind this school business.
He almost went to court because, you know, I was skipping school and stuff, but I didn't feel comfortable there. You know, if they had some sports, you know, to keep me in school, I probably would have stayed in school, but, you know, there was nothing to keep me in school.
There was no such thing as that, was there?
Yeah, well, I was on the basketball team and stuff like this, but, you know.
Was your big girl sports
on the vacations? No, nothing. You know.
A basketball team.
Yeah, I just played baseball, and that's about the extent of it. That's the only two sports that, you know, that women were allowed to play at the time, I guess.
Actually, I think you were better than our school. We had basketball and cheerleading.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be a good cheerleader.
Is that better than the
right.
Have you ever got to a point where you found you were drinking on a fair amount?
Oh yeah.
I'm going out to the bar.
Oh yeah, I drank a lot. Yeah, certainly. In fact, when I was in between women, I spent six nights a week in the bar. Mm. One night where you had to do your laundry and, you know, clean up your house. Once in a while, you know, like once a week. And that was it. And 6 days a week I was in the bar until you found somebody and you settled down again and play house. And
Did you have a sort of, if you weren't going to the bars and you were settled down with somebody, did you just see friends once in a while?
Yeah, they'd come over, we'd go over to their house, or we'd go out maybe once every 2 weeks or 3 weeks to the bars, and, you know.
Yeah. So you didn't get isolated as well?
No, never. I don't think that's healthy.
I've experienced that, and I went up the wall.
Yes, that's very unhealthy.
Okay. Have you had any confrontations with people, or, I mean, I know they're taking over the bar, but any personal confrontations with anybody who objected to your way of living, or?
What time you spent the night with you?
Oh, I don't think that was no big thing. I was fighting with this one girl that I was growing with at the time, and she was pounding the, I remember that bar. It was on Elm and, I don't even know the other street. It used to be a strip joint. It had a billboard on the outside, and she was mad about something. And she was out there pounding the glass out of it, and I grabbed her wrist to say, I'll cut it out, you know, and the police came, and I told them to mind their own fucking business. He says, this is our business, you know. So, you know, what are you going to do? You lose again. So, he took my girlfriend, put her in the car, the squad car, and they took off. I said, well, what the hell's going on here? Because police at that time had a reputation of raping women, you know, so I jumped in my car and followed them. And followed them, and so they ended up putting me in the jail cell because we started fighting in the police station. And so I had to go to court the next day, and well, I got off on a suspended sentence for resisting arrest, public intoxication, and disorderly conduct. And
did you have to file a judgment?
Yeah, well, anyway, you know, I was such a bulldog at the time, the cop kept grabbing me. He said, you better be a woman, you know. You know, all the time he's taking me to the Delaware Avenue. So finally, they got me there, and they were real rough, really. I mean, they're grabbing my arm, and, you know, just hanging on and, like, pushing me a little bit, and, throwing their authority around, and I went to the jail cell, and there was a matron there, and she made me take my blouse off to see if I had boobs or not. So she told the cops, yeah, she's a woman, so they put me in jail, and that was it, you know.
But I had, you better be a woman.
I think they would have ended up, you know, just beating the shit out of me.
She was a guy.
If I was a guy for some reason, you know. I mean, I don't know what their thing was at the time, but
queer.
Yeah, but if I was a girl, then I'd definitely be a queer because I was fighting with, you know, my woman on the street.
The cops can get a hold of the men cops.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't know.
The cops can get a hold of the boys.
You know? That's kind of a strange thing.
You
better be.
I couldn't understand that either.
What do you do when people ask you at work what you, how do you evade questions that get, without saying it's none of your business at work?
Say that.
Which doesn't come off too well, but how do you evade or get around people's questions
I usually joke it off and I say, I tried to give it away last night, but nobody would take it, and you know. Must be getting out of step, and you know, all this other kind of stuff. Or I'd say, it's all your out anyway, you know, who the hell wants it? And you know, stuff of this nature. It's kind of joking, but yet it has, you know, a little meaning to it. And so they really don't bother me too much. I kind of suspect that they know, but nobody's got enough balls to come out and ask me, because most of the guys that I work with, mostly men, and they're all married and they got kids. And my answer, of course, if they ever do, you know, point blank, say something to me, and you know, I'm just going to answer them, well, you know, if you hate it so much, I just hope to God that, or hope to somebody, that your kids aren't going to ever be. Mm. I figured that, or shut them up. You know, that's hitting home. So, you know.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So, I figured that, you know, get off my case. Hey, well, right, you answered a question with a question.
You're throwing the trouble right out of the bed.
I'm sorry.
You talked about crushes on teachers. Well, I don't know about if you'd call them crushes or not.
Oh yeah, they were crushes. Because I like to sit in the front row.
are you still sort of in the? I don't know. I always wonder if I'm going to outgrow crushes.
Never.
Sort of
really. Exactly. Well, you know, you're normal. I think you know. It's, So it's invigorating.
A romanticist.
Oh, yeah, you got a dream, you know, so, oh, wow, you know.
And you having problems with problems with it. When you had to, have you ever had to announce to somebody how you felt about them, or come into that sort of situation?
No, usually, believe it or not, I'm the type of person, I don't like to talk too much, and I don't know why I'm talking today. But even with my girls, they always say, well, why don't you tell me what, you know, what's on your mind and stuff? And I always was shy and afraid I might not say the right thing and offend them, or so I really, you know, never am too much of a talk. Well, I'll talk to my friends more actually than I will to the, you know, the woman I'm with at the time, you know, and I don't know.
So you sort of tend to when you're starting a relationship or something does come up, it's just sort of a mutual.
Oh yeah, there has to be mutual attraction.
Well, mutual attraction, but I mean, nobody says much of anything. It's just sort of.
Well, I'll let it take its course. You know, I mean, usually the first attraction is, of course, sexually, and after the sex wears off, which usually takes a year anyway, at least in all my past experiences, and then you get into the, you know, really, it's time to, you know, think about the future a little bit rather than the bed, you know, so much. But I don't know, I'm starting to be a little bit more open because I think I understand myself a little bit better now, and I think that's one of the reasons why before I never would speak openly with the women, because I didn't understand myself. I didn't understand if I wanted to be with them for any length of time or, you know, acquire anything with them. And I don't know, I think socializing with other people, you understand yourself a lot better too, you know, and it's good.
You ever been with a woman who was straight when you met her?
Oh yeah, most of my women except for her have been
straight.
Yeah.
And where did you meet
them? Well, most of them. Well, with the one I met at work, no, one, two. Three of my women I met at the factory job that I had. One I met at a bar, and her I met at a bar. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that was, you know, too healthy to meet a girl at the bar.
I meet you in Fallfield.
Oh, that's right too. We played on the same ball team before in the fall. So that's right too. But we're getting together. I mean, you know, it's really to be together, except for just knowing you.
That's another way to get together though, is these ball teams.
Oh yeah.
They're usually dykes.
Sports.
They're usually dykes. I've never gotten it now, but I've just finally, I think the summer before last, saw the Breskies play, and softball existed before that.
Slowpitch team, beer leagues, you know, how many, you know, it's no beer, I can be no big professional player, but I mean, you know,
it's all pretty much as a
way. It's a beer league, I mean, you know, after the ball game, everybody goes to whoever the bar is sponsoring you, and patronize their bar, and everybody makes up.
No matter what size town it is, it seems, those girls seem to get narrowed out and end up on a ball field.
Really?
Because you're...
Any town. You don't have to have any. Slow pitch is, you know, it's not that hard. I mean, you know.
Don't make people playing tennis or teaching.
That's right. Yeah, you know.
And they usually come out of straight bars, too.
They're all sponsored by straight bars.
Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, there's a lot of women out there that I wouldn't call them bisexual, but they're with men now, but I don't think
they'd rather not be.
I don't think all of them are fully satisfied by being with a man, you know, for some reason, whether it be sexual or what.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I've never had the experience, but I don't know if men are really that great lovers, because from what some of the women that I've been with that have been with men, you know, they just want to have their jollies and, you know, and they don't consider the, you know, their partner too much, but although the men now, I guess I understand, are becoming better now, you know, but.
Competition.
Maybe. It's healthy. Yeah, that's right.
I have more freedom in sex now than
I think a woman says what she wants more. Whereas before, I mean, if you knew.
They did it, but they didn't sleep in the same room when they were done, you know.
What?
They did it, but they didn't sleep in the same room when they were done. That used to be like
so
that.
So you've never been with a man?
No, never.
Made out?
I used to meet with him when I was a kid. In fact, that's how I got to Buffalo. I was going out with this one guy, which I liked him. I liked him as a buddy. I mean, we used to get along so good. We used to, you know, play practical jokes on everybody. And but he started getting too serious, and it got to the point where, you know, I said, hey, you know, and I cool it now. And he's talking about marriage and all this stuff. And I said, oh, my God, no, you know. So actually, that's how I come to Buffalo. I was really running away from him because I tell him no, and I turn around, and he'd be at my house, you know. And
persistent.
Yeah, and that's actually how I ended up in Buffalo. I got away from
everybody goes through that, though.
You know, and
so you'd gone to Syracuse, and
I'd gone home, and then I came here to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. Nothing was happening in Syracuse that you got a load of. Good, I don't know. See, people I know that tend to go to concerts. A women band is singing. That doesn't happen.
Oh, yeah.
Buffalo,
in fact, right now, there's a women's band out now.
Yeah, in Rochester?
No, here.
Yeah.
Really? They're playing. In fact, they're all gay. Really? Tonight, they're playing at McFan's.
Oh, what's
Niagara.
What?
Niagara and Hurdle.
I know, yeah.
Keep going that way. Not toward the city, but the other way.
Yeah,
McFan's.
Yeah. Do they play
the to get in?
Mm-hmm. In fact, they're playing tomorrow at Ricardo's from 8 until midnight, tomorrow night, Sunday night. Because he's trying to get the girls back there. Yes, he's paying them $250 for them to play, and that's a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah, what's the name of the band there?
Foxy.
Foxy. Oh, I've seen sign up. They're very good.
They're good.
A couple months ago, I guess, at Ricardo's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they're
playing a lot of street bars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they're getting their money.
They're good.
They're
good, I think.
Yeah. That's where they're getting their money is from straight bars.
Yeah, well, you couldn't support yourself on that.
Well, these bars wouldn't pay it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's not.
They'd love the entertainment, but they can't afford it.
Yeah. But play with a rock or something? Or?
Well, yeah.
Commercial.
Yeah, like commercial.
They
catch everybody.
You had a lot of unacquitted, were you attracted to somebody that are not, and yet you're sort of hung up on?
Well, in between girls, of course, I get a crush on a lot of girls, and I ask them out, if they're not interested, they say no, so I have to control my emotions, and I learned to control my emotions, and I just tell myself again, which I do. Because I have to put mine over matter. I mean, I can't, you know, sit in a bar and fire over one girl. I mean, what the hell, you know, that's not healthy, you know. So you move on to the next, and until you get somebody, you know, that's kind of attracted to you, and then have a mutual agreement, and, you know.
It's like kind of self-control. So you're a realist on top of the...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You
have to be.
Yeah.
It's healthy.
Yeah.
I don't know why I keep saying that word.
Yeah. I went for about 7 years hung up on one woman.
I mean, it's a downer. I mean,
totally.
No, it isn't. I mean, it's bad. You know.
Are you talking about being in a downer for 7 years?
Yeah. Well,
oh.
I was doing other things in that time, but I was so obsessed with this woman from high school that
many years though.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
I've never known anybody
4 years. I suspect if I saw her, you know,
holy cow,
that's a long time. She's safe in the. Safe in Boston.
don't you think that you'd have to do something?
Well, I had a
conversation
with her.
Hold on.
I was so curious about how to break it to them. How I felt, what my inclinations were. I mean, that was primarily how my fantasies went for a long time. What kind of fantasies do you have? You know, like personal fantasies, or do you fantasize people you don't know? Or
maybe not, I don't.
You don't fantasize?
No, not much, just, you know.
Did you love one of the girls on Charlie's Angels?
No, believe it or not, no, because I know, first of all, I can't afford them, and then I always got them in the back of my mind. That's why I don't like, you know, real sexy women, because you have to line them and dine them and things of this nature, and I just can't afford them. I, you know, it's like being on a down, you know, because spending all your money, because I've seen a lot of my friends, you know.
No,
we're so
not involved with somebody, though.
Oh. For some reason, I usually can tell just about how they are going to be in bed, just by the way they move, the way they act, the way they treat you. Like, if you embarrass them, how do they act? And you can read them, you know, body language.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm usually pretty accurate. I'm not 100% accurate, but, you know, I'm pretty accurate on, you know, as far as that's concerned. Whether they'll really be sexy or they're shy or... The shy ones are usually pretty loud. You know, after the, you know, after the, no, after you get to know them a little bit, you know.
Lady in the parlor.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
What's, you mentioned before that, well, something to the effect that, ideally you wouldn't meet somebody in a bar, or you had to take a place to meet.
No, I don't think
people.
I don't know. I always had the idea that a lot of girls were just out for the sexual part of it, where they could be, they could let loose sexually and know that they're not going to get pregnant, and but they're just out for sex, you know. And that just isn't my idea of sex. I mean, sex is beautiful, you know. But without emotion, I don't think it's, you know, really that great, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated to ever get tied up or met a woman that was just, you know, involved with sex. And
have you ever met a woman that just seemed to be?
No, believe it or not.
Involved in sex.
I haven't been to bed with that many women, but the women that I've been to bed with is the ones I've ended up going with for, you know, a length of time.
Mm-hmm.
And like these one night stands, that's not my bag, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I never did, but, you know,
yeah.
We all get weak, you know, but, it's probably a form of protection because I really didn't want to get hurt,
mm-hmm.
So I protected myself, you know. In fact, I lived with this one girl for 3 months before we even had sex.
And you both were attracted to each other?
Yeah.
And
she was just afraid, and I never pushed the issue until she was ready, and... felt that it was worth waiting for. We lived together for 3 months. Well, you know, it was...
So you liked each other as friends first?
Well, it was a little more than friends, you know, kids and friends, you know, but we never got into the act of sex. And but when, you know, finally when she finally, you know, she finally did, you know, everything was beautiful. And we had a beautiful sex life and everything, you know, and...
What do you say your politics at? You know, are you basically liberal, conservative, or how far would you go with feminism?
Wow. Well, politics. I don't know, I think they all suck, but... I don't know. I personally believe that the ERA and stuff of this nature have, you know, they demand that they want to be in every field of employment and things of this nature, that actually they've almost done me more harm than good, because now it's expected of you as a woman to do the job, and now the men really expect you to pay your weight and do your own share, but before I didn't have this competition. I did my job that was expected of me, and I did it well. But now it seems like I have to, and when I know I have to, I have a tendency not to do as good of a job for some reason. Now whether I'm fighting them psychologically or just holding back or what, I don't know. But for me personally, it's done me a little bit damage, you know. And then they say, well, a woman wants to do this and she's not capable of doing the job, and most women just want to be recognized as being a woman, getting into a field that a woman has never been into before, and then she gets into it and she holds a job for three or four months and then quits because it's too hard, she can't hack it. And to me, that's a downer to a woman, and I don't like that. You know, if you want a job, you're going to go out and get the job and do it because you want to, not because you're trying to compete against the men. And now I feel I'm more competitive on my job.
Mm-hmm.
That takes away some of the initiative of the job, you know, to accomplish goodwill or, you know, do a good job. It's taken away from it.
I have this sort of prejudice that It begs for more confidence. I suspect if a woman's good at what she does,
she'll do it well.
So when she does it well, and is independent, I figure she's good potential for lesbianism, if she's not already.
Uh-huh.
I've heard this.
Chances are she's 90% anyway, if she doesn't know it herself, you know.
Yeah.
There are a lot of latent, you know.
Yeah, the latent thing, I can never, well, everybody's latent, latent something.
Mm-hmm.
You could be latent heterosexual for...
God, I hope not. That would sure be a downer.
How long, your jobs, have they been pretty, you've been, stick to a job for a long
time? Oh, yeah, yes. I've had this one job for 11 years, and
mm-hmm.
prior to that, I held this other job 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I believe in you get a job, even if you don't like it, I mean, you have to have some means of support, but you make your job what it is. If you fool around and joke and, you know, kid around,
mm-hmm.
it makes your job that much easier. You know.
Staving them off for 11 years. That's a trick.
Yeah, I mean, they probably think I'm the biggest whore there, you know, and I don't care. You know?
Well, they might suspect you of being asexual, who knows?
Yeah, I think basically they do, because they always ask me, how come you don't carry a purse? I said, I want to get ripped off, you know, I keep my money close to my heart, you know? And, you know, they're satisfied, you know, and pacifies them, I guess.
You feel sort of like, you play sort of a clown?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Does it bother you after a while?
No, because I feel like I can keep my privacy this way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I swear if I am stuff of this nature. And
that's swearing universal.
Yeah,
right. Before it was back to work, what type of work are you into now?
Right now I'm into printing and mm-hmm. photo technician, so.
So it's skilled?
Skilled labor now. But still, I like the pay, so. So how are you going to think? I like the job, too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Had a lot of fun on it.
You get advanced, is there room for advancement, or do you care about that, or?
No.
Have you ever felt passed over,
Oh, yeah, there's many. In fact, I was up for a promotion before, and because this man was married and had 6 kids, I was overlooked. I mean, these are some of the things that you have to live with, and whether or not you agree with them or not, but something you have to learn to live with. I mean, that's reality, you know, as much as you like to get up and scream what you really feel or punch a few people out, you can't. You still have to have some type of self-control.
So you figure you got it because of the kids? Having 6 kids?
Well, no, it's
you
just...
You think if you had...
Oh, sure. You know, first of all, in fact, a lot of the men still resent the fact that a woman is working, and they say, well, you know, if you weren't working, a married man could be here, you know, supporting his family. I said, well, what the hell do you expect me to do? Work on Chippewa Street so you can think less of me as a person or, you know, as a woman or what? I said, what the hell do you want, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know? I, you know. If you don't have any employment, that's what you're going to do. Go on welfare, and you're bitching because the welfare rolls are so high, you have to pay so much taxes and stuff, you know. It's just something that they were brought up to believe in, and probably something they never even really thought about,
mm-hmm.
you know. That a woman has to pay rent and lights and gas just like, you know, an average single man would.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Nothing wrong with that?
Getting close to stopping.
Okay.
So,